pretty good low tide. What's going on down there?
What was the big hit when you were in high school? I know it wasn't Your Daddy Don't Know because you're not that old, but what was it?
I once went to a party where a guy stood in the living room with a turntable and played Back in Black, that album that came out from AC/DC.
Yep.
He played it the entire evening. The rule at this particular party was that no other song shall play except for the 10 songs on that record or whatever there was. And he played it for 5 hours, man.
Well, you know, you only need 3 chords and some guy who can yell walking around in shorts, man. That's it. Man.
Yeah, a lot of Pink Floyd, a lot of Rush, you know. All that stuff, man. Life was good back then. Huh?
It was indeed. The music was fabulous. All right, so you're in Los Angeles. It looks like the coach, Knobloch has been a really good coach at having his team recover after a difficult game. That was a tough game because they got it to overtime, but there were some loose play, the goaltending under a little bit of pressure. What do you expect to see, Mark, tonight from this Edmonton Oilers team?
A much tighter defensive team. The buzz around this team down here in Los Angeles is we got to get back to being that team that gives up way less chances, that's much harder to score on. I think what we've seen with Skinner over the course of this season is when the team in front of him is good, he's excellent. There have been some nights where he's carried not a great team for a couple periods till they get on their feet. But generally speaking, certainly like we go back to the playoffs last year and to game 2 of this season, when the team in front of him hasn't been good, I'm not looking at a guy who's carrying his team. He's not standing on his head and winning games by himself, but he's every bit as much goalie as you need when the team's good defensively, and that's where they're trying to get back to after giving up, 8 regulation goals in the last 2 games.
Yeah, I think that's all fair, and I agree with you. The it needs to be tighter. And I felt like LA had either they were really lucky or they were doing great on the set plays. Either or, you've got to be better in coverage and you've got to haul ass. And I also have to give credit for Drew Doughty. That goal he scored, he came from 200 feet to get it done. He was 20 again. And what a hockey player and what a hockey play that was.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the Oilers can't get caught up in lucky goals. Like, there are some score effects in the first game and some stupid goals they kicked in their own net. However, in game 2, LA had by far, they had their share of the play. They led that game all the way. They scored goals. They made good, you know, they had opportunities and they seized them. They weren't all fluke goals. You know, so the Oilers can't sit back and say, it's been bad breaks. Even though they've had a bunch of bad breaks, they got to look at the bad breakdowns, not the bad breaks. Remember, when this team was sick, you know, they went through that 16-game win streak, and even around it when they were playing good hockey, they're giving up 2 goals a night.
Yeah.
You know, 1 goal's on a lot of nights, and that's the team that's going to win. You're not going through all these playoffs here in 5-4 hockey games, pal. That's just not how it's going to work.
Mark Spector, our guest on Sports 1440 in the Lowdown with Low Tide. You know, it's such a cliche to say score first, and I'll add score first and then play the next shift like it matters. But I do think that Los Angeles, not necessarily that they're doing 1-2-1, they seem to be, changing up from time to time. But they are a team that they've got some great two-way players. If you go down a goal, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, listen, like, you know, you're right. You can't build your whole game plan around scoring first, because what if you don't? Right now, what do we quit? We can't quit. So, you know, of course you want to score first. But the big thing with LA is the minute you get ahead of them and they feel like they got to chase the game on you, it really does take them out of a preferred structure. Right? We know how they want to play, and I think these last 2 games have been a good example of you know, I saw a lot more 1-3-1 in game 2 when they had what were they up 2-0 and 3-1. Than we did in game 1 when they were trailing. And the Oilers have different ways to push them out of that thing. And it starts with moving the puck up quickly enough they can't get set up. And that's where it starts for Edmonton. If they do that and the Kings can't get set up, then it turns into goals for you. Now you got the lead we're talking about, and you take it from there.
One question that I'm looking forward to finding out the answer, but in previous series against LA recently, McDavid kind of kicks it into another gear and wins the day, and you know, they win game 5 and 6 and it's all over. But I want to know, does this version of the Oilers, in your opinion, need that from McDavid, or do you think that more than one line or more than one pairing can get it done, that maybe the depth of this team is a little better this year?
Yeah, this is the best Oilers team of the last 3 years. Would you not agree with that, Alan?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. Yep.
Yeah, they're the deepest team. I mean, and now look at your fourth line here. You got a fourth line that, you know, you're sitting out Derek Ryan, who used to play all the time. You know, you got Evander Kane on your third line on this team now because Fogle's taken a step into the top six. So their depth is better, and they don't need, you know, they'll certainly accept Connor McDavid taking over a game and winning it for them, but they've got a lot more bullets in their chamber here now than just 29 and 97, that's for sure.
I see a lot of people talking, like, online about, you know, Kane, move him down. I think they need Evander Kane to play a feature role. He's a physical player. He is intimidating. He's got a hell of a shot. I don't think they can just hang. I know Holloway's playing well, but, you know, in the minutes that he's getting, he scored twice the other night. I think you've got to have Kane on one of the top three lines. Fair?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly the lines of practice this morning were the same lines you saw in game two. And it's the same over in L.A. They practiced in El Segundo. I did not see them, but their lines are the same. Talbot's going to start. So it's really, you know, we're looking at the same lineups. I come from the school that says if Evander Kane's on my third line, I got a pretty good hockey team. Right? You know, there's a lot of teams in this league where Evander Kane would be a top six player for sure. And if if he's your third best left winger, and I'm not pushing Evander Kane to my fourth line. I don't think that's, you know, this guy's a veteran player. Like, he's not getting pushed into a fourth line by as much as we like Holloway's game and as awesome as he's looking in this, you know, promising as he's looking here now. And this is great news for the Oilers to have a good young player like Holloway. He's done it for 5 minutes here. You know, Evander Kane's done it for 10 years. So, you know, chikai a little bit on Holloway walking in the door and taking everyone's job. Listen, the kid's doing great in the fourth line right now. This is the best he's ever looked. He's comfortable. The ice time seems to suit his eye. Like, to me, don't force feed him more. Let him have some really good experience here in what he's doing. It's working for him. He's comfortable with it. Why are we going to force feed this kid more now? And we're just going to keep giving him more until he fails? Is that the plan or what? Like, just stay away from the kid, man. He's simmering great. Just leave him alone.
Yeah, it's also true, and you would be the best person to talk about this because you've been around the team for so long and you've seen various incarnations. But I remember when Ethan Morrow played on the fourth line for Pat Quinn, and you can't lose a veteran, right? And you know, people can say, well, you know, suck it up, Buttercup. But, you know, Evander Kane wants to win a Stanley Cup. This is one of his final bullets in his career. He wants to be a part of that. He's obviously playing through some things. I think you go back 2 years, and Matthew Tkachuk, you know, he shot his mouth off and then he shut up and they lost in Calgary. I think that Evander Kane had a big part of that. That's the player you have in Evander Kane, and you want everybody pulling on the rope. And I do think, you know, a trip to the fourth line for him is probably something that is difficult to take. And if Holloway takes the job away, then that's fine. Or if he's injured, then he has to rest. That's fine. But I think that there's a lot in Evander Kane that can help this team, and you don't want to lose him. Fair?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, every player is different, right? And, yeah, I doubt Evander Kane would take a demotion to the fourth line well. But more so, he's playing well. Like, he's playing good. You know, I don't mind the way he's playing. He's figuring out how to play a bit of a cycle and possession game on Perry's line, because Perry's line isn't going to fly up and down the ice all the time. You know, we were only two games in. Like, it's not... Right? He's played just fine. If he was terrible and you demoted him and you could look him in the eye and say, look, pal, you're just not getting the job done. That's one thing. But I don't mind the way he's played. I don't see why we're demoting a guy that's playing pretty well. Does he have 5 goals yet? Folks, we've only played 2 games. Like, chill out, right? We've only played 2 games here. So give him a little time and, you know, he'll find his watermark. If he's producing, he'll stay up. If all of a sudden we're four games into the second round, he's not producing. Let's have this conversation again.
Mark Spector, our guest on Sports 1440. The final area I want to talk to you about is, it's pretty clear to me already that the Kings are focused on making Evan Bouchard do a lot of work. And defensively, I mean, he's a wonderful passer, and he's got all kinds of skills with the puck on his stick. But the first goal the other night, he sends an area pass to Fogle where he could have carried it out or taken a little better care. And I'm not being overly critical, but he is going to be a focal point for Los Angeles. And when we talked at the top of the segment about tightening up, that's what we're talking about, right? Like, take care of the puck when you have it, and when you don't have it, you've got to really hurry back, make a play, even if you're going to get hit, even if you're going to get crunched, it has to go to a good area.
Yeah, and I don't think we've seen Bouchard get exploited in the situation that you just described, Al, where he's retrieving a puck and they're banging on him and he's making panic plays. Like, he had all day on that goal you just described. Mm. He just made the wrong pass, and probably it was a miscommunication with Fogle of some description, but you know, that wasn't a play made under duress by any means. He just made the wrong, he made a mistake. And the other play, remember when Kempe was tipping that puck twice and behind Skinner, there was a defenseman right next to him who was not tying up any sticks there. And that was Bouchard as well. You know, Bouchard, that was a great play by Kempe. But Bouchard was next to him, and he's juggling a puck on the end of his blade, and there's nothing happening to Kempe. So, listen, Bouchard's an 80-point defenseman. There's no secrets around the National Hockey League what you do when you play against him. You force him, and you make him play defense. You make him defend. That is his, you know, not his strong suit. I'm here to tell you that the place where he needs to improve steadily is defending, and everybody on every team knows it. So you know, he's got lots of ice time, which means lots of time for the King to dump it in his corner and make him defend. If the Oilers are going to win, this kid's going to have to defend at his best and maybe even get a little bit better at that.
So, final one for you, Spec. I know where the Kings play, and I remember back in the olden days, I used to produce for John Short when he's doing post game shows at the Forum, and
that's
he used
a long
to
when, time ago.
Yeah, it was when he used to. He'd say to me, he'd say, "Kid, we're at the Forum. The last cab is waiting for me, so we're going to wrap this show up in 5 minutes." And that meant that meant we weren't going to 11; we were going to 10:35 because he never wanted to be the last guy out of the LA Forum. Little different situation for Kings fans where they are now.
Yeah, I remember coming out of that LA Forum a few times, and you're right. You know, there was some rinks back then. Cavs didn't even want to. Once the people were gone, the Cavs wouldn't come in for one sports writer. The old Spectrum was one. The old Chicago Stadium. You got caught there, man. You're, I don't know how we got home some nights from there. This one's right downtown, like our rink in Edmonton. It's surrounded by people. LA Live is very safe and open and lit. And I'm staying in a hotel across the street. I don't rent a car or anything. So, yeah, it's, you know, for folks who want to come down and see the Oilers play down here, it's a really cool setup, to be honest. LA is a good place to watch hockey now. That old Forum was in a, what was it in? Was it in Inglewood?
Yeah, it was Inglewood, but it was in a, like, not a great area.
No, it wasn't, and I believe they built that SoFi Park right out there now, too, yeah, right? Yeah. I believe the new football stadium's there. So L.A.'s cleaning up. These cities aren't, you know, I remember Detroit scaring the hell out of me when I first went there a few times. Now it's not so bad. So, you know what? We're doing okay. No one's getting mugged this trip, low tide, I don't think.
Good. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good.